Tonight we're going to look at the prophecy concerning the River Nile and the Aswan Dam, and see that what the Bible spoke of 2,500 years ago through the prophet Ezekiel and the prophet Isaiah has been fulfilled in modern times. And we can see the fulfillment of it in our lifetime. So amazing stuff. And what can we get out of this for our walk in the Lord and for our life? Well, we can conclude that God's word is absolutely reliable. And all the people said, and it's inspired by God. I know that we know these things, but it's just so encouraging to reflect on these things that, you know, the Bible is God's inspired word, and that the Lord is our God. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. And we can rely on the promises that he's made to us personally as his children. And of course, the other thing is that we can use prophecies as like a little bit of bait to convince people that we come across who don't believe in the Bible, that they should listen to the Word of God, because it is indeed his inspired Word. We've got evidence, we've got proof, we've got things that we can tell people that will get them thinking and considering that maybe there really is something beyond just their own understanding of things. And of course, that's what we're about. We want to see people saved. And so hopefully some of the things we'll see tonight, and we've already seen tonight, serve as tools that we can have in our back pocket to use when we're talking to people about the Lord. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And of course, we know Jesus is coming back. We know that people can receive the Holy Spirit as their own wonderful personal evidence and enlightenment that, wow, God's real. Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. Praise the Lord for the message that we have for people. Now, I hope you can see that okay. That is a map of Africa. And I think there might even be a pointer thingy on here. Yes. And so the River Nile flows north up to the Mediterranean Sea. I'm not a very good shot. You can see that. But in the Mediterranean Sea up the top there, north of the continent of Africa. And so its source is down in a few different countries: Burundi, Rwanda, Tanzania. That's Lake Victoria, Lake Albert. And then you've got the White Nile and the Blue Nile, which converge in what we generally know as the Nile River in Egypt. And Lake Nasser is a huge man-made lake that I just want you to make a little mental note about Lake Nasser, because you're going to need that later on. So from its source to where it flows into the Mediterranean Sea, the Nile is over 6,500 kilometres long. So it's big. It supports life, of course. It's a pretty picture, isn't it? How do you get four hippos in a mini? Two in the front, two in the back. You get home from work, you pull up out the front of the house. How do you know if there's eight hippos in your house? There's two minis parked out the front. So it's all the Nile, critical for transport down through the centuries, fishing, agriculture. And from ancient times, Egypt was a prosperous civilization. Their prosperity was, as you can imagine, dependent on the Nile. And the annual flooding of the Nile brought down silt, nutrients, fertile soil into the delta, the Nile River Delta, which is that sort of V-shaped thing that you see on the map just before it flows into the Mediterranean Sea, creating an oasis in the desert. And then they built the Aswan High Dam. 107 metres high, and nearly 1 kilometre across. and it created a man-made lake behind it, Lake Nasser. The ecology of the area was massively changed. Lake Nasser, over 500 kilometres long and 10 to 30 kilometres wide, depending on where you're looking at it. The dam holds 2 years of water flow in behind the wall, and the river outputs 3.1 million litres of water per second, which is a fair bit in technical terms. And here's some work on the dam, and that's the actual completed gizmo. There's a couple of articles that I've got here just a little bit about. This one's retrieved from an article written on the 6th of June 1993, talks about an ecological catastrophe in the making. And this one's from the Herald, which I think was a Sydney newspaper in 1970. The totally unexpected consequences of the Lake Nasser scheme, conceived as a mark of national advancement and prestige, have been the biological degradation of much of the southeastern Mediterranean, deprivation of nutrients for fish and marine plant life, carried down the Nile before Lake Nasser dam was built. So in other words, it slowed down that bringing down of the nutrients, collapse of the famous Mediterranean sardine fishing industry. So that was a report of the consequences of the building of the dam written in 1970. So I just wanted to first paint a picture of where all this is, what the dam is, what Lake Nasser is, so that now we can look at what Ezekiel was inspired by God to say 2,500 years ago. It's written in our Bibles for all of us to reflect on and consider that the things that God said would happen happened in an amazing way. Just further proof of, the awesomeness of God. Ezekiel 29 verse 3, speak and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lies in the midst of his rivers, which has said, my river is mine own, and I have made it for myself. So this is a little bit like what Pastor Chad was talking about. In times of old, people like the Pharaoh of Egypt, they declared themselves to be gods and said, you'll worship me and you'll do what I say or else. So there was a fair bit of pride involved there. And you can imagine that the Lord just looking down and thinking, hang on, I'm God. And in verse 10, behold, therefore I am against thee and against thy rivers, and I'll make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate from the Tower of Syene even unto the border of Ethiopia. And in chapter 30, and I'll make the rivers dry and sell the land into the hand of the wicked, and I'll make the land waste and all that is therein by the hand of strangers. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Thus says the Lord God, I will also destroy the idols and will cause their images to cease out of Noph, and there shall be no more a prince in Egypt. So there's a number of points to be made out of this, and we're just going to try and quickly whiz through that. Isaiah also prophesied the burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rides upon a swift cloud, and it shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. So, the Tower of Syene, that was part of what we read there before. Now, way back in 1996, who remembers Microsoft Encarta? Anyone else? Yep. It's going back a while, isn't it? Children, if you don't know what that is, ask your parents. They'll probably remember what Microsoft Encarta was. But it was a digital encyclopedia. And one vivid and happy memory I have is of researching this prophecy for the first time, and I knew that it was about the Aswan Dam. So I got on Microsoft Encarta and I typed in Aswan. Click. And this is what popped up. Aswan, ancient Syene. And that was enough for my heart to leap to think, hang on, that's what I've been reading about in my Bible. From the Tower of Syene, the destruction would occur. Now, of course, a tower is just a big building. when you look up the definition of the word that's used in the Bible. And Syene was the ancient name for Aswan. So a big building would be built at Aswan, and that would be where it would start from. Let's check where I'm... Yep, okay. So some other key points. Of course, all of this revolves around from the beginning or from or beginning at the tower or the big building at Syene. So we've established that a super dam was built there in the 20th century. Also, the prophecy said there'd be no more a prince in Egypt. It'd be built by the hand of strangers. The idols would be destroyed and or moved, and the river, you know, would run dry. Not completely dry, but we'll see some of the ecological effects of what happened. So let's start with no more a prince in Egypt. This is Gamal Abdel Nasser. Now, he became president of Egypt on the 23rd of July 1952 by ousting King Farouk, who was the monarch of Egypt, and he became the president of the new Republic of Egypt. And there's some details there, but I'm just looking at the time and thinking I probably better keep moving. Come and ask me if you want to, or, you know, if you want a copy of the presentation, you can ask me afterwards. So anyway, he decided to build a super dam or tower at Aswan, ancient name Syene. And that's a map. So you can clearly see that, if I could point straight, which way am I going? Yeah. There we go. So there's where the dam is, and you can see this huge man-made lake that was the resultant thing that happened from it. And we're going to just take note also of Abu Simbel, which we're going to look at in a minute. So no more a prince in Egypt. From 1952, what happened was Egypt became a republic, so there was no more monarch. The idols would be moved or destroyed. This is the temple at Abu Simbel, and so anyway, they're about 20 metres high, by the way, those statues, and we'll look at it later, but just for the sake of time, they were built in tribute to Ramses II, Pharaoh of Egypt, who basically said, I'm a god, and he sort of built all this stuff, you know, just to remind people of how fantastic he was and that they should worship him. So, you know, it's interesting, isn't it, just to reflect on. People would look and think, you know, they're just statues. You know, I can talk to them. They don't talk back, do they? Why would God have a problem with these cute statues? Well, just because of exactly what I just said. God wants the truth known. He's the only true God, and all the people said. And so these statues are just that, statues. And so anyway, Aswan, ancient Syene city in southern Egypt, capital of the Aswan Governorate on the Nile near Lake Nasser. So that's the location. Under the pharaoh, Syene was an important city near quarries that furnished the granite for many Egyptian temples to their gods and their deities. The temples were to deify the pharaohs in most cases, so false gods. And so what happened was, when the dam got built, of course, it flooded a whole bunch of these temples, statues, and so forth. And so some of them were destroyed, like the prophecy said. And this particular one, remember it said that the Lord would ride in on a swift cloud and the idols of Egypt would be moved at his presence. Well, I love this because that is the new location of those statues. And this here is the water level of Lake Nasser. The thing was, and this is a model that sort of, if you're a tourist and you go to Egypt, you can look at this thing and see what happened. The original location was down here, above the water level of the River Nile, but when it was flooded, when the dam was built and Lake Nasser, the water level rose up, as you can imagine, that's the new water level there. And so they had to take these 20 metre statues and it goes, I think, about 56 metres into the side of the hill. They took all of that and lifted it up and moved it, because otherwise it was going to get flooded by the new Lake Nasser. So the idols of Egypt were truly moved at the Lord's presence.
Yep. Oh, okay.
All right, so here we go. Here's a few pictures, just to sort of, so you can see the scale of what we're talking about here. This was no sort of minor do-it-yourself project. This was massive, 20-metre-high granite statues that were sliced into pieces, numbered, and then they had to rebuild the whole thing. We haven't really got time to read this, but this is another temple that basically had to be moved piece by piece to a new location, the temple at Philae, if I remember rightly. The idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence. The river's dry. Now that the dam is there, naturally it reduces the Nile's flow. And so you can see the ship in the background there, just as a bit of an idea at some of the change that happened to the flow of the Nile as a result of the dam and the changed situation from the natural annual flooding of the river and flowing down and bringing all the silt to this man-made circumstance that the Egyptians built. Isaiah 19 verse 5, the river shall be wasted and dried, and also the waters shall fail from the sea. Interestingly, of course, the flow of the river held out the salt water of the Mediterranean Sea, but the reduced flow has meant that the sea has encroached into, and it's basically eroding away slowly, the Nile Delta. And in fact, again, we haven't really got time. That's just a satellite view of the whole thing, but that's the Nile Delta. And you probably can't read that, so trust me. Basically, it says exactly what I was just saying, that the delta is being eroded, and there's a village called Borg El Borellis. And that village that was right out on the edge of the delta is now actually in the sea, because the land has been eroded away around it. All right, just quickly finishing. So the fishing industry, the fishers also shall mourn. We read this earlier about the biological degradation and how it affected things. The dam robbed Egyptian soil of the silt that made it the most fertile on earth. Therefore, millions of acres were affected by salinity. This set off waterborne disease and squandered the very water it was meant to, the dam was meant to save. And of course, I remember also getting one of my mum's old book type encyclopedias. Remember those? And it actually, I remember that it said that the diversion of the Nile River for irrigation was one of the, at the time of writing, one of the biggest engineering projects ever undertaken on the earth. And Isaiah said, they shall turn the rivers far away. And again, it would cause all sorts of issues. So there's the irrigation. Reeds and flags shall wither. I'm just racing through this, but you can see it in Ezekiel 30. And Isaiah 19 for homework. Poor drainage of the newly irrigated lands has led to saturation and increased salinity. Over one half of Egypt's farmland is now rated medium to poor soils. But even worse in human terms was the return of the deadly bilharzia disease, which is a worm which gets inside people. It's pretty yucky. But it basically kills people, sadly, or makes them very, very sick. So again, pride, you know, it started off with Pharaoh, the river's mine, I'm the god. And of course, that isn't true. I've made it for myself. There's another guy that said, give me regulators at the heads of the Delta canals and I am the master of Egypt. How wrong can you be? Muhammad Ali said that, not the boxer. By the hand of strangers, it was the Soviet Union that funded the building of the dam in the end. We could say more about that, but we haven't got time. But the thing was that this cartoon was in a 1970 Melbourne newspaper, and it was basically a caricature of the Soviet Union saying to Egypt, "We own you now. You're in so much debt to us now that you're gonna, you know, we're in charge of you in the sense that you owe us," sort of thing. Okay, God foretold the future. I'll make the rivers dry and sell the land into the hand of the wicked, or I'll make the land waste and all that is therein by the hand of strangers. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And in saying that, we're certainly not saying that, you know, one particular country's wicked over another or whatever, but, you know, natural man is he's got his thoughts and his ideas, and there's all the politics going on in the world. We know there's one truth, and that's God's real. Jesus is alive. He's coming back for those that are born again, and that there's a salvation to be had, and everything outside of that is just natural and temporary and won't last. But as we heard earlier, God's kingdom is going to last forever. And what we can glean out of this, as we said earlier, is God's promises to us are true, and we can rely on everything that he says. And when we think about, must be time for me to stop because this doesn't seem to be working. Oh, no, there we go. Matthew 24, we know that the Bible talks about the signs of the times, the world we live in, and it's absolutely accurate. You'll hear wars and rumours of wars. "See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, for the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, and then Jesus Christ is going to return." The Bible says so. Praise the Lord that we're in the last days. As we just keep looking to him, well, he's coming back for the overcomer. And if you're new here today, I think the leaflet said, this is what you're looking for. And what I'd just like to finish with is, you know, there's amazing things in the Bible that were written in times of old that have come to pass. The Bible is a unique book, inspired by the power of God. Holy men of old were inspired by God to write the things that they did, and they've come to pass with amazing accuracy. And if you're new tonight and you're considering the things of the Lord, we just want you to know that God's promises are reliable, and his promise to you is that if you ask him, he'll fill you with the Holy Spirit, you'll speak in a new language that you've never learned, a miracle from God, and you'll know that Jesus is alive. You'll know that you're saved. You'll know that Jesus is coming back for you, because that's the Lord's promise, written in the Bible 2,000 years ago. Miracles still happen. You can receive the Holy Spirit tonight. We'll leave it there.